So you mentioned differentiation syndrome, and that really is a key issue, I think, for the general medical oncologist to be aware about. Can you talk about when it occurs, how it usually presents, and how it's managed?
Sure. So differentiation syndrome, whether you get ivosidenib for IDH1 mutant disease or enasidenib for IDH2 mutant disease, it occurs in about 10%. It looks, for all the world, very similar to what you get with retinoic acid syndrome when you're giving APL, except with one crucial difference. With APL, retinoic acid treatment, you usually see the thing happen the first week or two of therapy. This can be a more delayed onset. But you get the pleural effusions, the pericardial effusions, the third spacing of weight gain. You could get high white count. You don't necessarily have to get a high white count, and not everybody with a high white count has the syndrome. So in that respect, it is similar to retinoic acid syndrome. It should be managed by giving steroids and antibiotics just in case you've also got an infection. And then if the patient's not responding, you can stop the drug. But the drug's half-life is so long that stopping it really isn't going to do anything. So it's giving steroids. I think the biggest issue is, well, besides recognizing it, let's assume you're thinking about it, so you're expecting it, is figuring out whether you've got somebody with refractory disease versus differentiation syndrome. Because in both situations, the white count can go up. In both situations, people can be sick. And in both situations, the blast can still be present in the blood. So I think in most cases, I would err on the side, well, the drug might work. Let's try it a little bit longer, give steroids. And if after another week or two, they still have a lot of blast, then you probably really have a refractory patient. There's a lot of work about predicting who's going to respond to these drugs. We presented some data about that. If you've got a RAS pathway mutation at the start, you're not so likely to respond to either ivosidenib or enasidenib. And you may develop a RAS pathway mutation at the time of relapse as a cause for relapse, where you may develop an IDH2 mutation if you're using an IDH1 inhibitor and vice versa. So there's some very interesting science involving why people might relapse getting a targeted agent. I mean, unfortunately, cancer is pretty complicated and pretty, I don't like to use the word smart, but if you have enough cancer cells, there's a good chance you're going to have one that's going to be resistant to your agent, and that can be selected for. I think we really have to think in terms of Darwinian selection when we're treating cancer, particularly leukemia. It's a whack-a-mole theory. We kill off the IDH1 clone, and the RAS clone is going to come back and bother us.